Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And if you do, that's where you can get those predictions that I mentioned earlier. And that's where you can get those copies of the my resolutions that I'll be talking about in the shows in the weeks ahead. So you can actually print them out and follow along. How about that? Rick Pinion is with us. He's our good friend and longtime, actually an original member of the Brain Trust. He's the president and the founder of Pinion Financial Services. He is our financial planning expert in the Brain Trust. Rick, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Jim, and thanks for your patience in letting me thaw out a little bit on the East Coast.
Yeah, we're glad to have you here, as always, and whenever you can join us, Rick. And do you need to do your little disclaimer?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do, especially being in the Washington area.
Exactly. Go ahead.
Okay, discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or advice. You should always consult with your financial advisor when dealing with important financial matters. Securities offered through Sun America Securities, a registered broker-dealer, member SIPC and NASD, and Pinion Financial Services, LLC, and Sun America Securities are not affiliated. Thank you very much.
And that's what you call full disclosure, ladies and gentlemen, as opposed to caveat emptor, which is the way the non-securities industry, or marketplace, I should say, works. The securities industry works on full disclosure, and that's where Rick works. That's the part of the world he lives in. Rick, one of the things I wanted you to do first, but in a minute we're going to talk about five key areas of financial planning to help us get our 2005 kicked off. But before you do that, there are some things that we need to do before the end of the year. In other words, this is the last week we've got to do this, that I want you to tell us about. If we want to be able to take advantage of some of these different capabilities. Go ahead.
Yeah, Jim, I think the most important thing is for those listeners out there that would like to establish a formal retirement plan, they have until December 30th to set up the document. So they've got to do that before the end of the year. I guess you could say December 31st. And that paperwork has to be turned in and submitted and approved.
Give us an idea about what a formal retirement plan is.
Well, like, for example, if you'd like to set up a profit-sharing plan, a defined benefit plan, any of the more formal, qualified, well-known retirement plans, the documentation has to be established with the Department of Labor and the IRS before the end of the year.
When you said defined benefit, did you mean defined contribution?
Both.
Does anybody do defined benefit anymore?
Well, it's very few. It's gotten to be so expensive and awkward that many people have just thrown up their hands, and the actuaries' studies are needed, and it's just a very expensive proposition. So very, very few people still have a defined benefit program anymore.
And those I didn't think there were any new ones started. I knew that there were a lot of old ones hanging out there, but not. I didn't think anybody did new ones anymore.
Very, very few. Very few.
But anyway, that's got to be done and approved before the end of the year?
Well, the paperwork has to be submitted. I'm not sure if you can get an approval in,
right,
but at least the paperwork has to be in there.
Who approves that?
Well, it's a couple things. First of all, it has to be approved through the Department of Labor because it goes through the retirement plan section there, and also the IRS has to approve it as well.
Okay. All right.
And so these are the type of things that people have to do. Now, if they want to, of course, do an IRA, then they have until, you know, April 15th.
Right.
They file their taxes. So
what about a 401k?
401k, same thing, December 31st.
All right, got to establish that. What about a SEP?
A SEP IRA, we call that. In fact, it was funny, we had the same discussion a couple years ago, and I nicknamed it the last-minute IRA.
Yeah.
I think I mentioned that in the year 2003.
Yeah.
You and I were on, guys, this is like hearkening back a
couple
years ago. Yeah. But that's what we call the last-minute IRA, and the SEP IRA is a nice little vehicle. It's great for people that are self-employed or have small businesses. Gosh, there's just a whole lot of little pension plans out there. Now, the administration's trying to consolidate these to make it a little bit easier for people to understand.
And good for them.
Yeah, and because it's so confusing. I mean, we could spend all day talking about the different types of retirement plans that are out there.
Right. But so a SEP IRA, we've got to do that before the end of the year?
No, the SEP IRA, you can wait until next year.
Okay, but what about the there are some other plans, though, besides the formal retirement plans that you have to do before the end of the year, don't you?
Yeah, there's what they call a simple IRA.
That's it.
Yeah, you've probably heard of the simple IRA.
Yep.
And that kind of took the place of the old, what we call the SARSEP plan. And the SARSEP plan went out of existence after 1996.
Right. But now, does that have to be done, the paperwork have to be done on that before the end of the year?
That's correct.
It does, okay.
So when
now you understand why we need somebody like Rick to help us wade through all these weeds.
Right.
This is a mess. But we have to do it. I mean, we have to be doing it, and so we need help. And thank goodness there are people who are registered financial planners like Rick Pinion and others around the country. There are thousands of people who have either your designations, Rick, or some level of your designations.
That's right. In fact, I think people that are certified financial planners, there's roughly about 45,000 of us in the United States.
Right. So somebody can help you out there. Could a CPA help them?
Well, a CPA, in fact, we do a lot of work with CPAs and attorneys. Sometimes we work as part of a team because it's very important for the CPA to let you know exactly how much you can contribute.
Right. Right.
And that's where I rely on the CPAs that actually do the tax return, and they'll call me up and they'll say, okay, Rick, you set up the plan. Here's the amount of money that your client can put into it for this year.
Right. All right. So now that we kind of have a better idea about what we need to be doing before the end of the year, I'll tell you what, we're coming up on a break. When we come back, we're going to get Rick to identify all five of the areas, and then Rick, what we'll do, as we've done in the past, is get you to come back other days, and we'll talk about each one of these. How's that sound?
That sounds wonderful.
All right. Stand by, Rick Pinion. We're going to take a quick break. Rick Pinion and I will be right back after these messages. It's 10 till. Stay with us, please.
Look at them yo-yos. That's the way you do it. You play the guitar on the MTV.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Rick Pinion is our guest. He's with Pinion Financial Services. Rick, give us your website, please.
Okay, the website is www.pinionfinancial. Pinion Financial is one word, pinionfinancial.com.
And there's a lot of things they can find out there that you have available for free, don't you, from your website?
It's almost like an encyclopedia.
It is.
You can go in there and look at educational planning, retirement planning.
You got some calculators too in there, don't you?
Yeah, if you want to figure out how much you'll need for different things, the dictionary, glossary, it's just like a financial planning book put in onto the internet.
Absolutely. So, and Rick, I appreciate you making that available to my audience, and folks, I encourage you to do that. And by the way, remind those who are listening in the D.C. area, remind them how they can listen to your show on Sunday.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, I'm coming up at the end of my first year on the radio, so we're still in contract negotiations. But if everything goes well, you'll hear me this Sunday on 570 AM. That's 570. It's a clear channel. We have the CNN news at the top of the hour. And you can hear me from Sunday from 9 to 10 Sunday morning.
So check that out. And when is your next seminar going to be?
Well, we're still planning for it. We'll probably have it towards the end of January. We're still putting the pieces together.
All right. And those are free, too, by the way, folks. Rick, let's run that through the five key areas of financial planning.
Yeah. I want to remind the listeners to grab their pen or pencil. Let me go through them with you. The first is insurance. Insurance is very important. Then we have investments.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have income tax reduction strategies. Then we have retirement planning. And last but not least, we have estate planning.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the five major areas that a certified financial planner works in.
Well, those are areas that folks if you go talk to a financial planner, you know, be prepared with your thoughts with what you've already got. If you're loading up your material to take to a financial planner or maybe to get started with a tax attorney or an accountant or something like that, these are the main areas that they're going to want to cover, aren't they?
In fact, we send our clients or potential clients out a questionnaire, and on the questionnaire we have a checklist of what to bring in for their initial consultation. Tax return is high up on the list, as well as estate planning documents, and they felt a little two-page questionnaire so that when we meet, the meeting will be productive.
Would it help if they brought the insurance policies in?
Yeah, we make photocopies of them.
Bring the insurance policies in. That way they can tell. It helps them understand what kind of policy it is, whether it's term or participating or universal or whatever. Also, if you've got a will, probably would help if you could see that.
Yeah, and the big question we always ask people when it comes to insurance is, do they have an umbrella policy?
All right, tell us what that is.
An umbrella policy is for excess liability. In case a lawsuit takes place either on an automobile or homeowner's policy,
right,
it kicks into the umbrella. The umbrella is an excess liability coverage to protect your basic assets, unless you run into one of those doozies of a lawsuit.
Right. You know, Rick, before 911, for businesses, an umbrella liability policy was the best money, was the best value of anything that I saw. But since 911, those things have gone way up. How about for an individual?
Well, individuals, actually, as more and more people purchase them, and you can buy these denominations of $1 million, and you want to have at least enough to cover your net worth, because that's what it's all about, is protecting your net worth. And these things run just on the average, you know, they're not that expensive, maybe $300 to $500 a year for
right.
$1 million. So it's a good bargain.
It used to be that way. It used to be that price for a business, but I think it's gone up a good bit for businesses now.
Yeah, and it's all based on our litigious society. So as
right.
more and more lawsuits take place, unfortunately, the insurance companies have got to pass along those costs. Similar to what they do with malpractice insurance. We're
right.
running into a catastrophic problem in the state of Maryland on malpractice reform.
Right. Rick, before we go, we've got about a minute. Let's remind people about the different kinds of financial planners. They are fee-based, and they're
yes.
commission-based, and then they're the combos, right?
Yeah, let's go through them. The first is what we call commission-based financial planners, which they pretty much work on commissions.
They take commissions on the products that they recommend that you buy.
Right. Then there's
okay.
what they call fee or fee advisory type clients, where they actually charge a fee for, say, advice or money under management. And then we have the fee offset type financial planners, or commission offset, where when you purchase different products and services, they will offset their fees by the commissions generated on those products.
That's the kind that makes the most sense to me, and that's the kind you are, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm a combination,
yeah.
because there are certain products, for example, long-term care,
right.
which are traditionally sold on a commission basis. So I've got to be flexible enough to handle all my clients' needs.
Right. Rick Pinion, thank you for being here today. Good job, as always. Looking forward to another great 2005 with you. And give us your website before you go one more time.
www.pinionfinancial.com.
Thank you, Rick. We'll see you next time. Happy New Year.
Thank you. We'll all thaw out.
Rick Pinion, ladies and gentlemen. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.